All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NFL podcast for Friday, December 8th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James.
I was feeling so confident because I was going to roll through having all the information, then I stumbled on the date. We're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, DFSR.com. Short head on over to the site and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system that's powered by Lineup Lab. It's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, NFL, NBA, base projections for hockey. It gets you all set to go under one subscription package, a premium chat for our members where James and I are in there answering questions. So all covered under one subscription blanket, free for 3 days, and then just $34.95 a month after, and you're all good to go. Buddy, I hate being right about things, but especially when it comes to injury, but Kamara just blows up last night and doesn't get there for anyone because he got hurt. So don't like the...
Yeah, that was stupid. Yeah. I was bummed because I was sure he was going to suck, and then... He just gets hurt. So, yeah.
The Thursday night games, people are complaining that it increases injuries. It seems like it can't help in terms of just like having limited time to practice. I wonder, and more and more players are coming out to complain about it. I wonder if it'll ever go away. This seems like the product. I mean, the game last night was actually kind of interesting, which usually doesn't happen. But for the most part, Thursday night product for football is not all that great anyway. So I'm kind of am wondering if they ever just decide to maybe just go to like a Saturday schedule or something like that, and then just kind of get rid of the Thursday night games. But we'll see. All right, we're going to go through game by game. We did not do a cash game podcast this week. We did a no halftime takeover podcast where we did, you know, we kind of ended up talking about some of our cash game plays just in conversation there. But we'll roll through some of those and we'll kind of highlight the guys here in the game by game. If they were the ones that I wrote up for guys you can consider, some of the information has changed slightly since the article came out, although not that much. We'll roll through each of these games, talk about some of the injury concerns that we're still waiting to hear on, and just talk about some overall general DFS strategy stuff in players that you can target. And let's get it on. All right. So Oakland goes into KC. KC is a -4 favorite. Man, it's crazy. I mentioned this on one of the podcasts. I think, you know what, I probably just mentioned this on every damn podcast we do for the NFL.
For 5 weeks in a row.
Well, they just keep doing it. It's just one thing after another. It's just one reason here, one reason there. Like, when is the time that we just completely ignore KC? I think we're both in agreement that Kareem Hunt, we're at this point, you're in a complete wait-and-see approach, and I don't think we're going to have enough time to the regular season to see enough to probably bump his projection back up. But I am wondering your thoughts here about guys like Alex Smith, Kelsey, and Tyreek Hill, possibly for cash or GPP. Kelsey's a guy showing up pretty high in our system right here. What do you think on the KC side?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kelsey as a player is a great option from week to week. I'll tell you, he's pushing into the price range now where it starts to get a little embarrassing to play him. Like $8,000 for a guy with 12 total targets over the last 2 weeks. Granted, he had the two touchdown receptions to start the last game against the Jets, but overall that's not really the kind of target share we're hoping for, especially in a game where the offense did great against the Jets. For an $8,000 player, like, if you start to compare this target share to $8,000 receivers, for instance, you're like pay just up a little bit more for someone like Keenan Allen. I think Kelsey might be starting to be a little bit priced out to where you'd really like to invest the money. Now, all that being said, there are really not a lot of good tight end options this week. So if you wind up having to kiss that frog and pay up a little bit more for a guy who does bring some presumed safety to the position, I suppose I understand it. But yeah, you're really, really paying a premium at this point.
Yeah, he's showing, like I said, he's showing up in lineups. I'm not sure it sticks, but the tight end, you know, Gronk, you have Gronk getting suspended, and we had kind of targeted cheaper tight ends throughout the season, and that just, a lot of the guys that we had been targeting, their performance has come up, and so is their price, and so I'm just not sure you're getting as much value at tight end as you were earlier in the season.
No, and you know, conversely, you're getting value at positions like running back with guys like Jamal Williams or, you know, that $6,000 to $7,000 range wide receiver. So if that's just where the value is, and like I said, if Kelsey's the guy you just pay up for because you have extra salary left over, he is one of the safer options among the tight ends. So I think I can see it. It's just that it's not a reason to, you know, take a flyer on some cheap wide receiver who you're not sure about, I guess is my point.
What about Alex Smith in cash games? He was decent performance-wise last week, although it looked a little bit fluky because he had so many long touchdown passes and the one long 70-yard run. He's been fine-ish on the price this season. I can't really overstate. Oakland is just so bad on defense. Oakland ranks 32nd in the league in DVOA right now, dead last against the pass, and then 19th against the run. With those factors in mind, is Alex Smith a cash game consideration here?
Yeah, I think so. He was excellent against Oakland in their last meeting. You tend not to take, with regular players, non-quarterbacks, I should say, I tend not to go too crazy with an individual matchup previously in the season. But quarterbacks, you know, since they get so much opportunity, I think it does normalize a little bit more quickly. And he just looked great against Oakland in October, going 25 of 36 for 342 and 3 touchdowns. And given that he's been running more in the recent weeks, I think it's a really good spot to run him out there.
Yep. And then Oakland side, they're going to get Crabtree back. It looks like they're going to get Amari Cooper back as well. I'm not sure. This is Marcus Peters. Looks like he's going to be suspended this week. So the matchup for those guys might be just a little bit better. And Oakland just hasn't looked all that good this season.
Not coming back off injury.
What's that?
I said, don't play those guys, especially not coming back off injury.
Yeah, Cooper was the injury. Like I said, Crabtree was a suspension. I'm less worried about Crabtree. I'd be more inclined to play Crabtree here, I think. And then Marshawn Lynch was the guy we targeted last week in the Giants running game. And the game script could get away from him. He broke off a long run. If they gave him the ball enough, I think he's somewhat interesting here. And then just because the price hasn't really come up, but I'd struggle to play. I think I would struggle to play him in cash just because I just don't see him getting enough volume. Moving into Chicago and Cincinnati, -6.5 favorites here. The big injury news that we're going to be probably focused on, I bet you we figured out today, is Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is not clear concussion protocol. He left with a pretty nasty hit last week against the Steelers. Didn't come back and has not practiced since. We're waiting to hear my guess right now. I mean, this is Friday morning. I'm going to guess that he does not clear concussion protocol. And in that case, would we feel comfortable with a guy like Gio Bernard as an every down back? They've never really wanted to do that with him. And that is like my concern, that sometimes there's a reason teams don't want to hand the ball a lot to a guy. There's a reason teams draft a running back in the first round like they did with Mixon here, and when Gio was already on the team. I mean, Jeremy Hill was there as well too. But would we feel okay with him if we knew Mixon was going to play, or would this be a situation like he got some more touches, but then we get one of these like kind of practice squad running backs that come in to take some carries, like, you know, Tyon Green last week for Detroit. You know, if Theo Riddick gets the start and then Tyon Green gets a bunch of carries kind of out of nowhere. How would you view the Gio Bernard situation?
I think that's absolutely in play, that Bernard, you know, is kind of it gets a little bit more usage than typically, but winds up that they figure out some other bigger guy to take the bulk of the carries. I think we'll actually know quite a bit based on what the coaches say. Bernard did get every single one of the carries when Mixon went down last week, so that's a little bit reassuring. It's like no one else was even remotely prepared here, so I think for that reason, I'm higher on Bernard than I was on Riddick. I do think Bernard, I mean, he showed some ability. He's had some ability in the past. He's also a good pass catcher. So if it all does come together and he appears to be, like, if they say something like he'll be the feature back or we're going to ride the hot hand, that's a great sign that he'll just be the 3-down back. If they say they're going to like split carries or it'll be a timeshare, then I wouldn't be interested. So it's a wait and see for me. Let's figure out what they're going to say before we make any definitive declarations here.
If he is out, if Mixon is out, then Bernard becomes a complete chalk play in DraftKings. He's only 3,100. And I think even he wouldn't need to have that much more usage to just become an excellent play there. Like I wouldn't need
a timeshare. Yeah,
I wouldn't. Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't even need to know that he was. He could be splitting time. And at 3,100, I feel still pretty comfortable with the 3,100. A little different, you know, mostly because of the PPR aspect there. But 5,100 on FanDuel, not as much. What about a guy like AJ Green? You know, Chicago's defense, they're not terrible this season. Not all that great. They rank right around a league average defense. We've seen big games from AJ before. Would this be a time, especially if they were without the running back, would this be a time we could see maybe a few more targets go his way?
Yeah, the targets have ticked up recently anyway for AJ Green. You know, he was looking pretty great early in the season. Things randomly tailed off during October, went 5, 8, and 2 targets in, you know, some tougher matchups with Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. Comes back last week against that same tough Pittsburgh defense and gets 16 targets for 7 catches and 2 touchdowns. I do think AJ Green is a guy whose stock is on the rise for me. That being said, I think there are probably better options for cash games at the similar price range. I mean, we talked about them at length yesterday on our No Halftime podcast takeover, but I would certainly rather play Keenan Allen, for instance, at a similar price point. But I do think AJ, phenomenal big tournament play. I wouldn't be surprised to see him having some cash game ownership as well.
And then the Chicago side, you can't trust the quarterback at all. They have no wide receivers on the team. Tarik Cohen led the team in targets last week with 4. So forget that. You can pretty much scrub the entire passing game out of your collective memory. Jordan Howard's a guy we had targeted, and I think we both agreed on yesterday's podcast that it's just getting a little weird trying to target him just when the carries just haven't been there, and they're underdogs here. Cincinnati's defense pretty good, so I think we can probably pretty safely ignore the Chicago side of this ball. Green Bay goes in and plays Cleveland. Green Bay is a -3 road favorite against Cleveland with a backup quarterback. Hundley still going here, so congrats Cleveland. Cleveland fired their president of operations this week, so they're just continue their death spiral into whatever they're going to end up becoming in the future, which doesn't seem like much. Let's start with the Green Bay side. You know, we were a little concerned last week with Jamal Williams, with Aaron Jones coming back, that they would enter more of a timeshare with Jones, Aaron Jones would maybe become maybe more of the pass catching third down back. That did not seem to be the case, really. Are we comfortable with Jamal Williams, I don't know, 20 touches in this game, even with Jones coming back healthy?
I think Jamal Williams is a great play. I think, you know, he's finally the running back in Green Bay that's doing something with the touches allotted to him. He's good as a pass catcher, pretty good carrying the ball as well. He's had some difficulties on a yard per carry basis prior to this, but given that he's coming off his strongest yards per carry game against Tampa Bay, I assume that he'll be the guy. I think 20 plus touches is certainly in play here. And I think you and I agree as well that Cleveland's running defense is greatly overrated. So I assume he'll be a heavy cash game play, and I think it's right.
Yep, they still rank number one DVOA. So the more and more weeks go by where that number doesn't drop and we continue to say they're overrated, it gets harder and harder to say that. I will still contend
it does. But let's talk about projection systems, because we've gone through growing pains with this when we were first building out our model. And, you know, we're in an industry like so. And I really like the Football Outsiders guys. You know, we actually advertise over there and have loved our relationship with them. They do great work. They're brilliant guys. But let's be honest, like their DVOA stats, all those things, they don't put anything on the line when it comes to those stats. And that really matters when it comes to trying to find precision, and particularly in one specific case, and that's outliers. So we see every season, every sport, that some outliers will come up that will challenge the fundamental assumptions of your model. And I think in a case like Cleveland, what I imagine, and I haven't talked to them about this, but what I imagine is going on there is at some point you have to look at a sample size and not make excuses for it, right? You just say, well, hey, they've been this good over this time. Even when we wait for things like strength of schedule, they've still been just phenomenal against the opposing running backs on a per play basis. What I don't think it's accounting for is the exact running backs who have been carrying the ball for those teams, which to a man basically have been terrible. And they're not accounting for game scripts, which is to say Cleveland's always getting their teeth kicked in. So the opposing team, I don't think, needs to operate at maximum effort. And I think for those two reasons, Cleveland is almost certainly overrated by DVOA. And I would be surprised if they didn't just agree when asked that same question. But the question really is, are they a good defense or an average defense or a bad one? I would suspect there's something like an average to bad. But I don't really have any great data there either, because we just don't have the sample size. But that's the assumption I'm operating under, that yards per carry allowed and DVOA and those things simply can't account for this very, very odd strength of schedule mishap that Cleveland's undergone this season.
Yeah, they averaged Chargers averaged 4 yards a carry last week between Gordon and Eckler. Mixon averaged almost 5 yards a carry the week before in his best game of the season. And then if you just look down the rest of this list, the Lions don't have a running back. The Jags were without Leonard Fournette that week. And then the list kind of just goes on and on and on. So I overall would say, and by the way, you made a point too, like the longer you get into the season, the worse you're just going to get in like this very like down and dirty kind of stat, which is to stop the run, right? Like it's just like when you're just losing every single game. So anyway, all this being said, I feel comfortable with the volume, and I think we agree we're not completely scared away by the matchup. Other guys we've targeted in the past, we like Davante Adams as just Hundley's primary pass catcher. I'm just getting all stumbly. I think we can probably go that way again. One of your thoughts, we talked briefly about him on the week 13 recap podcast, and that's Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon obviously comes back after a long stint away on suspension, comes back and gets an elite target share right away. Now Kaiser is still the guy throwing the ball, and Kaiser's awful. Is Gordon the guy, do you think people will take a shot on for some upside this week? Do you think you want to take a shot on Gordon? Like, where do you stand with this guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very encouraging target share for sure. Not so encouraging on how many targets he turned into receptions. The quarterback play is obviously terrible as well, but it wouldn't shock me to see him move into like a DeAndre Hopkins light sort of situation, which is kind of how I'm treating him. So I think he's affordably priced at 6,700. I think the upside is there for tournaments where you need to cash in on some big upside. I think a lot of people are going to be on that same bandwagon with you. So I think probably the betting man's play is to fade it and just say, let 30% of the field think this is the best possible big tournament play. And if he only gets 87 yards again or 84 yards on four catches, that's pretty bad on 6,700. So yeah, huge upside. I don't know if you have anything like a sample size to think of him as a safe play. And for me, it's boring, but it's kind of a wait and see thing.
I read a tweet yesterday, and I can't remember who it was from, but it said something along the lines of DeShone Kizer had the lowest pass catchability rating. Like the amount of passes he's thrown this year that someone had the ability to catch was like by far the lowest in the league.
It's not great.
So not a great sign. Let's go into the next 1 o'clock game, Detroit and Tampa Bay. The news we're waiting on here, obviously, is Stafford. Stafford had a bruised hand, had to leave the game last game, has practiced, I think, in limited fashion this week, and it's unclear if he's going to play. It seems like they're going to be incentivized to want to have him play because they are in a playoff push here where they can still make the playoffs, and this is just the very worst time that you can lose your starting quarterback. Knowing that, and we talked briefly about this yesterday, but just to recap it, knowing that Stafford is possibly dealing with a hand injury here, would it make us downgrade guys like Tate and Marvin Jones, who actually are coming in some places, come creeping up toward top lineups just because of their price dips and some of their target share? Would we feel comfortable with that, knowing Stafford might be playing hurt here?
Yeah, I don't think there's any real reason to bother playing these guys, given how many games are on this slate and how many pretty good options there are. And so even if they represent like a marginal value with nothing changing, I wouldn't want to go there for cash games, I don't think.
Yeah, I think I agree. And then on the Tampa Bay side of the ball, Doug Martin, clear concussion protocol, so he'll be back. You know, Peyton Barber had gotten a bunch of carries last week, but that doesn't seem to be, that's not going to be the case here. It looks like they're going to get Doug Martin back. I don't think that really does anything. What are your thoughts on Mike Evans? Mike Evans has been pretty damn bad this year. Hasn't had a game over 100 yards receiving yet. Very few touchdowns, just really not turning into the guy who is still kind of priced in like these upper levels, and I just don't totally get it. I don't know if it's like a name thing or what it is. I take that back. I guess he's dropped a little bit on DraftKings to 6,900. Do you think there's any bounce back potential here for a guy like Evans? Clearly the pedigree's there. He's had big seasons in the past. He just hasn't seemed to put it together this year.
I actually think Evans is an interesting upside play here, and actually specifically for big tournaments. So you take a guy like Josh Gordon, who's basically still a complete unknown. We know they threw the ball his way 11 times, and that he did a lot when he actually caught the ball 4 times, but there's no track record whatsoever in the last 4 years of him doing anything on a football field. And then you have a guy like Evans, who's, you know, a little bit more expensive, and I think for that reason we'll have no ownership at all in a big tournament. But before last week, he had 12 and 10 targets against Atlanta and Miami. And again, he didn't do a ton with those, but when he does catch the ball, he can put big numbers up on the board. I think Evans is actually a really solid way to get some pretty decent separation in big tournaments with the same upside as guys like Gordon, who, you know, are kind of the big name wide receiver du jour. That being said, Evans, not even remotely a cash game play for me.
Now he's gonna draw Slay here and Darius Slay, and so that's it. Still kind of rates out to be sort of a plus matchup, but not by much, and not to the point where you're looking to play kind of safety thing. But I think the ownership will be very low, and I like that comparison between him and Gordon because it just stands to reason that a big game for him is going to come up. I'm not sure if this is going to be the one, but his stock is definitely not in a complete free fall, but he's just had a very, very rough season. San Francisco goes in and plays Houston. We talked a little bit about Jimmy Garoppolo and about whether or not, you know, how much the addition of Garoppolo changes how good of a matchup you're getting against the 49ers, as evidenced by I can't remember if I mentioned this or just read this, but they had been by far the fastest paced team in the league in terms of allowing opponents possessions this season. Right. It wasn't even close. I can't remember the number, but it was like 68 or something like that. In one game, they went from allowing the most. They moved up 5 spots just in how much they controlled the ball against Chicago last week. And I'm wondering if you think that move. You know, because we use pace of play as one of our multipliers to just kind of say like how often the guy's going to touch the ball on the other team. It makes sense, and it's been a pretty useful stat through the years. One of our probably more useful stats that we use, I think. And then all of a sudden you get a complete change for a team that traditionally has been really bad at this because they just have trouble staying on the field. Do you think that shift up continues in that direction for San Francisco? Do you think they go back? Do you think it's an outlier? I'm wondering your thoughts when you see a move like this late in the season for a team.
Well, I think it's significant. I mean, anytime you get, basically there's two positions that can change that can really modify this multiplier for you, and that's the coach and the quarterback. And I think San Francisco, and also just being bad in general, sometimes teams just decide to switch it up. And since San Francisco has two of those three things going for it, I would assume that it's legit.
Yeah, I think that's where I land too. Now that, see, I think you're still getting a decent matchup here. You know, Houston is still a favorite. Their implied total is decent. So I think that we're going to have a discussion here, at least on Sunday, about where we land on some of these guys. And I think those guys specifically are DeAndre Hopkins, who we talked in length about yesterday, and then Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller, since Deontay Foreman went down, Lamar Miller has picked up more carries in this offense. He's not particularly good, but the carries have been there. He's a home favorite here against a team that, while they have had a shift, they're still not a very good they're not a good defense by any stretch of the imagination. He's only 6,600 on FanDuel and is creeping up toward something like a value. What are your thoughts here on Lamar Miller?
Well, Miller's a guy, talk about a player we've never played on the correct week. That's my first caveat with Lamar Miller. So understand that if we recommend him, you probably shouldn't play him. But I think the usage is there for Lamar Miller. Like the last 3 weeks, 26 touches, 18 touches, 19 touches. You're kind of in the neighborhood of the kind of touches that we're hoping to see on a $6,600 player. And going up against San Francisco is still a positive defensive matchup. So I think he's playable, and I know that if he's in our lineups, people will be grumpy about it, and then he'll probably suck. So that's my take on Lamar Miller.
Well, instilling a lot of confidence, especially for those first-time users, especially maybe the people that were thinking about getting the free three-day trial there.
Come to free three-day trial and watch us play Lamar Miller and then laugh at us on Sunday night.
I think I'm there with you, too. It's one of those weeks where I'm going to probably want to spend up at least on one wide receiver in that DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen kind of territory. I think spending up a quarterback is going to make a lot of sense here, just for some of the guys. We haven't gotten into all of them yet, but there are some quarterbacks you can pay up for. And when that's the case, then you start having to look in this tier of running back, and there's a couple guys here, and I think if it comes down to it and we're forced to choose between him and a couple of the other guys that we're going to mention a little later, he might be on the chopping block comparatively.
You'll certainly play Jamal Williams over him, right?
Oh yeah, it was just gonna who else to pair him with. I mean, I'm looking at where the system's kind of landing now, and it's sort of landing on a running back in this range, and like Marshawn Lynch is in this range, Alfred Morris, who we'll get to later, is in this range, and Lamar Miller. Like these guys are kind of, look, this is again Friday, all these things can change. One injury, like Mixon's out, and all of a sudden that's Gio Bernard. So who knows? I'm not making any declarative statements on where the lineups are going to be, except it's just interesting when you look at where they're landing now. He is pushing up against something of a value, and we talked at length about Hopkins yesterday and where we kind of saw him in terms of the elite wide receiver class between him and Keenan Allen. I think we landed on that was closer than it seemed on its face, and probably still prefer Keenan Allen. Next 1 o'clock game, Indianapolis goes in and plays Buffalo. I believe we're still waiting on Tyrod Taylor news. I'm not positive. I don't think it really matters. He still hasn't practiced. I don't think he's going to play this week. I think they're going to go back to Peterman. Do we care at all about anything in this game at all?
Yeah, I think LeSean McCoy is still interesting for me. He's a guy that's put up a lot of numbers in the past, and you hear my baby screeching in the background. I assume it's intentional, just to troll me for being an absentee dad at the moment. But home office, folks, it's the dream, living the dream here. But LeSean McCoy still is getting touches and targets, 26 touches against Kansas City, 17 in a bad, terrible game script game against New England. It stands to reason that this will be about as good a game script as he can imagine. The problem with McCoy is the price, right? It's gone up from 8,300 against New England to now 9,000. Can we pay this much for a running back on a team with Nathan Peterman under center?
No, not in cash games. And I think he makes an excellent GPP play because no one is going to want to play him at this price. I think that you were going
to... You don't think so? I think people are going to talk themselves into the narrative for big tournaments.
You think they could be. When I say no one, I mean like he's going to be somewhere in like that 10% or less range. Like I think that you'll see...
I bet you'll see at least one or two people do it, though, is what I'm saying.
Thanks. I think when you look down the list, I think, you know, when you're making lineups, really just no matter which way you kind of slice it here, just putting that salary in just is not going to feel good. And he just has as much upside as any running back in the game if he can get rolling. And that's just the problem, is he hasn't been able to get rolling. And Peterman behind center is not going to help him. Though he had a decent game against the Chargers when Peterman started. He had like one of the best first halves ever for a team that was losing by like 8 touchdowns before they even hit the locker room. But it's just because he has talent and the rest of the team is just pretty garbagey. All right, let's go. And then Indianapolis, I think I'm off everything going
full skip.
Before we hit the rest of these 1 o'clock games, hit us up with a sponsor.
Is your cat making too much noise all the time? Is your cat constantly stomping around, driving you crazy? Is your cat clawing at all your furnitures? Think there's no answer? You're so stupid. There is. FantasyFactor.com. Head on over to FantasyFactor.com. You can play the salary cap game formats that you're used to. You can play, you know, big tournaments. You can play cash games just like you can anywhere else, with the big exception that the big superstar guys who put in 150 lineups in every single contest won't be there gobbling up all the minnows. Fantasy Factor's been with us a really long time. Totally trustworthy, easy money in, money out process. Check them out today at fantasyfactor.com. And if you want to get started this weekend, they'll have another NFL free roll starting on Sunday that is still underfunded as of right now. So check them out and make sure that your cat isn't going to keep you up all night.
phenomenal kitten mittens reference there. All right, so let's Always Sunny for those that don't know that. All right, Minnesota goes in and plays Carolina. The news, Carolina is going to get Greg Olsen back this week. Not sure it really matters that he's going to play a full set of snaps. Still not sure it matters here. Minnesota side, they are favorites. The overall total is looking pretty low with Minnesota -2.5 with 41 over under. Anything you like from this game and what could be a pretty low scoring affair?
Yeah, it's not a phenomenal spot, I don't think. I think Minnesota, you know, they have the names that you recognize, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen. Diggs, I think, is totally unplayable for cash games. Thielen, I think, is playable. I think people are going to be a little bit down on him after a subpar week against Atlanta. But this is a guy who averaged double-digit targets for like 6 weeks plus prior to that. So I think he's a little bit undervalued right now. But in a game against Carolina, it's not clear that he's really where you want to land for cash games. So yeah, I'm keeping Thielen on my radar. I'm not really considering anyone else from Minnesota.
It does look like he has a pretty positive matchup here against running out of the slot against the Carolina defense, which seems to rate pretty poorly in defending that area of the field. And still, he's not coming in as a crazy high multiplier here, mostly because overall, it looks like the game is going to be pretty low scoring, but I don't mind taking a stab at him in tournaments. The Dallas Cowboys go in and play the Giants. Cowboys are -3.5 road favorites with a 42 over under. Wondering your thoughts here. Dak has looked pretty damn bad for a couple weeks now.
That is true.
Some people are saying that he's dealing with injury, or he just is maybe possibly just dealing with an injury here that's affecting him and affecting how much they're even willing to throw the ball with him, because he's been really just some kind of awful. 11 for 22 last week for 102 total yards, 20 for 27 the week before for 179 yards. He hasn't thrown for more than 200 yards in four straight weeks, and he's thrown for less than 200 yards in five of the last 6 weeks. That's coincides pretty closely to them losing Ezekiel Elliott. What are our thoughts on Dak here? Is there just something wrong? And then what do we think about targeting possibly Alfred Morris in the run game here?
Dak is totally unplayable right now. You would need the last three games to add up to a good performance on this price. So the matchup just doesn't matter. There's almost certainly just some other contextual factor, whether it's coaching or injuries or the players around him. Totally ignore anything that happened earlier in the season, especially with Ezekiel Elliott, who really just opens up a lot for them out of the run game. And for that reason, I think it's pretty risky to invest in any of these other guys. The possible exception of Dez Bryant, who's now at his basically season cheapest price, coming off a 7-target week where he was very effective against Washington, and then the 14-target week 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago rather, against Philadelphia. Perhaps something to like there, but I think that you're kind of going to be out on a limb, and it's not clear that, you know, just playing anyone on this Cowboys offense is correct right now.
Now, what about Morris, though? Morris had 27 carries last week, 127 yards and a touchdown, was averaging.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, I've been passing him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, would we consider Morris in for cash games here? Like, he was in that price range of the Lamar Millers and Marshawn Lynch that I mentioned before.
Oh, yeah. Definitely play him over Miller and Lynch. I would say he's pretty much a toss-up between Jamal Williams and Morris right now.
Yeah. And the like you said, the usage for him, 27 carries is crazy. Like, you don't just very rarely get running backs. And I wouldn't slot him in for that same amount this week again, but the fact that they were even willing to do it, and they ended up running the ball 42 total times because Rod Smith ran 10 times as well. And then on the Giants side, you know, I wrote up Sterling Shepard this week, and I wrote up Evan Ingram as well as getting Eli Manning back in the passing game here. Shepard he's still questionable, but I think he is going to play. If he was a full go, would you consider maybe possibly stacking guys like Ingram and Shepard here, knowing Eli's back and knowing that they've been guys that have had double digit targets in the past?
I love Shepard on this price, actually, and I would be very enthusiastic about playing him in cash games. When he was playing with Eli the last 2 weeks, he had 13 and 9 targets and was, you know, modestly effective even with Geno Smith. So you're a little bit concerned on some of the injury stuff with Shepard, questionable still for this week, even though it looks like he's going to play. But after missing, you know, 3 weeks, that's significant. And sometimes teams try to be cautious with players, especially younger ones. But for wide receivers who really do depend on that first step to produce, it can be very troubling to have a hamstring injury. So I do like Shepard. I think I like him for all formats. Understand that you're taking on some degree of risk by running him out there, though.
4 o'clock games, the Jets and Denver. I want to say full skip here, but maybe you're seeing something I don't. Denver, it looks like they're going to stick with Trevor Siemian as the quarterback. Some of the receivers have seen sort of a lead target share in the past. It's still their quarterback play has been just some of the worst in the league. I mean, Robbie Anderson on the other side has had touchdown upside. I'm not sure this is the matchup. Anything you like here? Because for me, this feels like this is not a game I'm going to be targeting, possibly not even like in the 4 o'clock only slate.
Well, no, I'm not going to take anyone on the Jets, but I would like to take this opportunity to complain about what the Jets have done with Robbie Anderson, which is make him go from being a complete luck box. Everyone who's smart doesn't play Robbie Anderson because he only gets 5 targets a game, but he happens to score a touchdown guy. And then just when everyone's like patting themselves on the back for understanding the variance involved and all the bad players play Robbie Anderson, then he just gets 10 targets and 12 targets and actually turns into a good wide receiver who also gets all the end zone looks. So yeah, thanks a lot, Jets. I really appreciate that one. No, don't play him against Denver, but unfortunately he is a guy you're going to want to keep an eye on in future weeks.
Other 4 o'clock game, Washington goes in and plays the Chargers. Surprisingly, this is an interesting week in terms of betting lines because they have actually the second highest overall odds in their favor, and they're only a -6 this week. There's a lot of very thin spread games this week. They are -6 at home against the Redskins, who have been just completely crushed by injuries this season. It seems like the Chargers are basically a two-man show at this point between Gordon and Allen. Would you feel comfortable stacking these two guys maybe together in cash games? Allen's a guy that's coming in pretty close to top lineups right now, deservedly so. We talked a ton about him yesterday. But what are your thoughts on Gordon? It seems like our system is wanting to pay down at running back this week. We do have him, though, as the highest overall projected guy on the slate. Would you feel comfortable paying all the way up for him this week?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you just look at his game log and just his general production, basically his historical career projection, tell me how he's different than Jamal Williams. I mean, the last 3 weeks, 19 carries for 77 yards, 21 for 65, 20 for 80. Like, he's just, on a good day, a 4 yards per carry back. On a bad day, like a 3 yards per carry back. And so almost independent of the matchup, I mean, basically, unless the Chargers, and they are favored, but unless they're heavily favored and the opposing team is just terrible against the run, I just don't think he's going to be worth it at this price point when there are other reasonably safe options beneath. Like, if you play Gordon in any given week, you're basically playing him for his floor. Like, just saying, you know, I know he's not optimal on a yards per touch basis, but I think he'll get 24 touches in this good matchup, and there aren't a lot of other safe options. But since there are other safe options that are cheaper, I'm not going to play him.
Yeah, I pretty much land in the same area. We talked a lot about Jameson Crowder yesterday as being a cash game play in this matchup. That seems like it's going to be close on him. The price hasn't come up a ton, but as a volume wide receiver coming out of the slot, he's in a pretty good matchup here, and it's tough to trust. Samaje Perine, I'm just not sure. They're going to be playing from behind. I don't think you really want to go there. I actually don't mind Cousins here. What do you think about Cousins as a possible cash game play? He's decently high in terms of overall projection in our system, or he was at least, and his points per dollar, he's cheaper than, at least on FanDuel, he's the next rung cheaper than some of the other guys we've mentioned. Like, we've talked about Alex Smith. We actually haven't even talked about a ton of quarterbacks here, interestingly enough.
Yeah,
but
true.
What are your thoughts on Cousins as possibly in a game where the passing volume really could be there, and he will get out and run every once in a while?
I like Cousins because we know that Washington really wants to pass. I mean, Perine came out, he had 23 and 24 carries against New Orleans and the Giants, and then just goes down to 12 against Dallas. I think they do want to lean on Cousins. I think they like the Cousins-Crowder connection up the middle for that sort of short yardage situation, especially like when they need 5 or 6 yards, they're going to be passing to Crowder, in my estimation, a lot more than they'll be handing the ball off to Perine. So I think Cousins is a pretty viable cash game target. So, yeah, I mean, especially given that they're going to potentially be behind by a little bit, I think his role is very, very secure. And he's just pretty efficient and safe and generally has a high floor.
This isn't a perfect number, but I sometimes like to just focus in on at least from a Vegas standpoint, quarterbacks who are underdogs but have the highest implied total as an underdog. And that does fit the bill here for Washington, just as a point to like – it's not a scientific thing. I think sometimes it is informative about a quarterback that may have some upside because the volume is going to be there. You know, like if you see Breeze coming in as an underdog on a certain week, you can maybe make some assumptions that there's going to be a few more passes for him, especially on a team like there that want to run the ball a lot in games where they're up. So I think from that standpoint, I like Cousins. It doesn't feel all that safe. And like I said, we do like to target running quarterbacks, at least for cash game purposes. And he doesn't completely fit that model. Every once in a while, he'll kind of run, but not a ton. So he's close, and I doubt that he completely gets there. Titans go in and play Arizona. Titans are going to get Rishard Matthews back this week. I don't think he'll get shadowed by Patrick Peterson, though. I'm not completely sure about that one. Anything here that you like? The other news note is that Arizona probably is going to be without Adrian Peterson again. Kerwin Williams did get a lot of touches last week. Anything you like in this game?
I don't think I'm over the moon on either of these teams, really. You know, two teams with really uncertain running back situations. Tennessee has this pretty uncertain passing situation. There are a lot of cheap guys that I think people will consider for big tournaments. You know, some people wanted to stick their neck out there on Corey Davis. That never really paid off. Rishard Matthews has been a guy that people have tapped into for big tourneys in the past and had some success. But obviously, you know, missing a whole month doesn't really give any confidence there. Eric Decker, I'm not really a believer. Larry Fitzgerald, I think, is good and just unfortunately kind of overpriced at this point. It's 7,600 in anything less than a really, really good matchup. I think I'd rather pay up for Keenan Allen or pay down for a guy like Davante Adams, both of whom I assume, like, I think Allen's just a rich man's version of both of those guys. And I'm not totally persuaded that Fitzgerald is necessarily better than the cheaper wide receivers who do something similar to him. So I don't really see a lot to be excited about here.
Yeah, I've been wanting to play Mariota at times because he does run so much, and he just hasn't put it together. The passing touchdowns really haven't been there. The passing volume hasn't been there, mostly because they just lean so heavily on the run that you just can't trust that he has a ton of upside. Even in games that they're down a little bit, they still kind of lean on the run, and it's just in those situations, he fits all the bills of like the exact kind of guy that our system is going to want to play, and he just doesn't seem to.
Except for passing 24 times a game. That's one of the things our system doesn't like very much.
Right. And he's still been kind of good at these prices. Like the last, you'd be happy with his performance over in four of the last 5 weeks, basically. Yep. Just because he will get out in the 50 yards rushing here, 20 yards rushing there. He'll get the touchdown. He has thrown a touchdown in every week. So it's close on him. And I still just don't think it's there. And Vegas doesn't see them as putting up any kind of real points. But again, we've kind of skipped a lot of quarterbacks. And that's my other concern here too, is that we've just gone a lot of these games and just not really talked about much of the quarterback play.
You only need one.
And quarterback is just pretty uninspiring. And that's what you're going to get when you have a lot of low totals and you just have a lot of quarterbacks facing really good defenses. Case in point, Russell Wilson, the guy that we played almost every single week, like over the last 6 weeks or something like that, is finally being put to the test as they go in and play Jacksonville in the 425 game. Really low total. Seattle less than Jacksonville is a completely elite defense this season. They're no longer number one in DVOA, but only were just slightly beaten out by Baltimore. Jacksonville's biggest weakness is against the run. Seattle really has struggled to run the ball. Is the defensive matchup? We've played Wilson just about every single week.
And it's been correct just about every single week this year. I mean, we've made a ton of money on Wilson in all but like two games this season.
Right, and so is this the week that we finally get away from him in this matchup?
Yeah, I think so. I think there are just going to be other options. And one guy we haven't talked about yet is Carson Wentz. I think they might even be the exact same price. No, Wentz is 1,000 more, so not quite the exact same price.
This is where it's coming close, and this is why I'm asking because...
I know he's cheaper than usual. I just think the matchup can be bad enough to where the floor on a guy like Wilson goes down. And I think the floor is there. I think he probably will and should see some cash ownership, but in a game that Vegas sees him scoring 20 or fewer points, it just doesn't seem like a great spot, right?
No. Yeah. It's a testament to how good Wilson is that it's even close, right? Because like we wouldn't be considering any quarterbacks against the Jaguars almost ever. And yet Wilson is just so much of every single part of what the team does here that it's still pretty damn close, and it looks like he's be playing from behind, and that's kind of where you want to have him. Now they did run Mike Davis a bunch last week, 16 times for 64 yards. Jacksonville, like I said, is worse against the run. I don't think you want to target. You're not going to target Davis in this matchup really at all as underdog on the road with so few points going up on the Jacksonville side. Seattle's defense, decent in their own right. Guys like Leonard Fournette have been getting carries, but just the yardage hasn't been there. Anything you're interested here? Marquise Lee's been seeing a lot of targets. Anything you like on Jacksonville?
Yeah, I think Lee is interesting. I mean, he's a guy that our system was picking up on earlier this season when the targets were very consistent, gets a little banged up, has a bad game against Arizona. But if you throw that game out, averaging double digit targets basically since the month of October. And I think he's kind of the wide receiver one in Jacksonville, such as it is, or such as anyone can be under the tutelage of Blake Bortles. That being said, last week, 10 targets, 7 receptions, 86 yards and a touch against Indianapolis. 6,600, probably still too cheap for him. Another guy who I don't think is like fundamentally that much different than Larry Fitzgerald or Davante Adams or any of that group. Probably a slightly poor man's version of those guys. And you do get the slight discount, but as someone to pair alongside of those other guys for cash, sure. I don't see any reason why not to give it a shot.
And without Richard Sherman, the Seattle secondary taken a hit in covering wide receiver ones. So Lee does look like he has a plus matchup. They do move him around the field a lot. And I'm starting, I'm encouraged overall by his target share, over at least over the short term, just because, it's, like you said, it does seem like Bortles has honed in on who his number one wide receiver is. D.D. Westbrook also saw a lot of targets last week. He's going to have some conversion problems stands to reason he's going to continue to have some conversion issues, and I think he has a lot of upside. So if you wanted to maybe just pivot off that and see that, go for like a high upside play, D.D. Westbrook kind of fits that mold. I was wrong before when I said Cousins is the highest total of an underdog quarterback. That was actually Carson Wentz. The Eagles go and play the Rams, and will probably be, this is the game, this is the, probably definitely the game of the week in terms of just like implications. Two teams that have surprised and been very, very good this season. And now we're going to get Philadelphia. This is the first time, I think, in a really long time that they're actually underdogs in a game. Now, the issue with Wentz has been just overall volume in a given game, because they just have curb stomped teams early and often, and they just haven't had to throw the ball at all. In a game that, at least from Vegas' standpoint, scripts to be very high scoring with him coming from behind, is Wentz, do you think Wentz comes in as like maybe the clear cash game play?
Yeah, I think so. I think 8,600 is a fair price. I think we get a little discount actually because of those odd game scripts that Philly's been involved in, because they haven't really had to, you know, just bring the kitchen sink and try to beat anyone. So I think for that reason, Wentz will be, and just like you've pointed out too, there's so few other really good quarterback options that I think people will rightfully label him as probably the safest and the highest floor quarterback of the week.
And we saw last week in a close game, they were willing to turn him loose. I mean, he did throw 45 times in the game against Seattle last week. He didn't get there with the passing touchdowns, but he also runs a lot too, 30 yards rushing. He'll get out and scramble in a close game. I think this game is lining up completely for him to at least hit value. Like it's very difficult for me to see a scenario where he doesn't at least hit cash game value in this. And I think that's saying a lot for this slate, because the quarterback situation is so dire that I don't feel that same level of confidence from really almost any other quarterback. And Wentz is the one guy where I think that you do, especially, you know, if they get down a score or two early also, like I think you have a ton of upside on a guy like Wentz. And I think most other people are going to see that the same way. Other guys in the Philadelphia arsenal here, Ertz looks like he is going to, I think he cleared protocol and he's going to be back this week. Alshon Jeffrey, we talked a little bit about yesterday. Anything else jumped out for you on the Eagles side? And then we can talk about the Rams.
Yeah, I think Ertz is a little bit too expensive based on what I perceive to be uncertainty with his concussion protocol stuff. Concussions are the type of thing where a guy can clear the protocol, go in there, take one rough hit early in the game, and then just miss several sets, or, you know, be rechecked. Like, there's just too much going on there to want to pay $7,800 for a guy who, just when he has played, has only averaged 12 fantasy points a game. And I think Jeffrey, I mean, he stands to benefit if Ertz is off the field, but he's not been amazing on this price point. I mean, $7,400, he becomes very, very touchdown dependent. I think you can, I'd rather play Larry Fitzgerald at the same price. And if you got my feelings about Larry Fitzgerald, not really feeling like he's going to put up big numbers, I don't think Jeffrey's going to be there either. Even last week when Wentz did throw a bunch of times, Jeffrey's still only the recipient of 6 targets. So I just don't think he represents a huge value here.
Rams have the highest overall implied total on the board, I think. It's either them or the Chiefs. And guys, we played Gurley last week. We liked the volume on him. He actually ended up leading the team in carries and targets. And other guys, you know, without Robert Woods, we've seen target upticks for both Cooper Kupp and Sammy Watkins, though that didn't completely materialize last week. What are your feelings here on the Rams? None of their guys are coming all that high in our system, but yet they have the most implied points. And that always kind of concerns me a little bit in terms of the projections.
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, so Philly has been pretty good on defense this season. And again, it's hard to trust the strict points per game allowed, because when games get out of hand, just weird things happen. You know, some teams put up garbage time points, other teams just kind of fold. So it's really tough to know, to read into exactly why it's played out that way. I still personally really believe in the floor of guys like Gurley and Kupp for this matchup, especially if Vegas sees it being competitive. I tend to trust it in that regard. And so I think both Cooper Kupp and Todd Gurley are good cash game plays this week.
Yeah, Gurley probably just ends up just being a little too expensive at $8,500, I think, for me. And I do still think that he gets a heavy volume. And then Kupp's price has come up into the mid 6,000s. And you do have some other wide receivers in that range that kind of make the decisions closer. One thing I forgot to mention that most people have already realized, I'm sure by Friday, is that FanDuel finally followed DraftKings' suit of not including the Sunday night game on their main slate of games. So the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, we're going to kind of just gloss over these and keep this mostly into the main slate set of games. But yeah, so finally, you don't have to kind of toggle between which guys on which site to play. So they followed DraftKings suit, and that game is not there. That game still probably, it does project to be pretty low scoring, at least for Pittsburgh. So I don't think, you know, outside of a Thursday night, or excuse me, the Sunday night primetime slate, you know, you still consider guys like Bell and Brown, obviously, and probably not be all that excited because Baltimore's defense is so good. And then you get New England as minus 11 favorites over Miami. It's going to be an interesting kind of primetime slate there because they're not going to have Gronk, and yet they're favored by a ton of points. So anyway, just going to kind of gloss over those games because they're not on the main slate. All right, buddy, we are finished. We will be around this Sunday talking more in our chat room. So go sign up for that. Talking more NFL action as we get ready for Sunday's slate of games. Go over and check out dfsr.com/NBA, and that will get you that free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. And you're all set to go, buddy. Enjoy your week 14 in the NFL.
I will. Basketball next.